I'm Paul Lancour with podtech.net. I'm with Dariush Baboudi right now, and he's a managing director with Bearing Point. Dariush, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
And today we're going to talk about disaster recovery and specifically disaster recovery technology architecture considerations. So I want to ask you first, Dariush, when considering an organization's disaster recovery plan, what are the technology architecture elements that need to be taken into account?
So Paul, the elements of the disaster recovery architecture are customer and business requirements. So the plan should provide a differentiated service model to accommodate the needs of the business, and it should protect the vital assets of the firm. It should focus on organization survival as well as satisfying and regulatory audit requirement. It should be realistic. It should include, testing plans to ensure the viability of the disaster recovery strategy. It should be compatible with firm's technology standards. So within the plan, they should not try to introduce new technology because then the staff would not be ready for that. And of course, it should be cost-effective by reusing technology assets where possible.
So that's interesting. So one of the considerations is really not to deploy any new technology when developing a disaster recovery plan.
Absolutely, we do not want to introduce any new technology that the firm staff is not familiar with for supporting disaster recoveries. So the applications should be the same, and so on and so forth. There may be some level of technologies to allow for replications that would be brand new, but those are then we can train the staff for that. But we don't want to introduce, for example, that the disaster recovery site has a different computing servers as the operations, for example.
And I would imagine that one of the problems you would encounter when developing this disaster recovery plan was to make it a quantifiable plan, one that you can actually know what you're deploying and know how that will affect your disaster recovery plan. Is that a serious consideration when dealing with this?
Absolutely. We want to make sure that the plan meets the business requirements, and that's why we are advocating a tiered disaster recovery structure. So by tiering, I mean for different applications within the firm, you provide different level of technology for disaster recovery. For example, for mission-critical applications, you may want to recover those within 2 hours of a disaster. For the less critical one, you may want to wait another day. This way, we can assign resources in an orderly fashion to recover from a disaster. We are not trying to bring the whole enterprise back up at the same time, because that would be impossible in case of a disaster, because there is impact on facilities, there is impact on people. So the enterprise has to assume that nobody is at 100% of their capabilities.
And then I would imagine, again, as with most things in business these days, the current regulatory environment is a big factor to take into consideration with deploying architecture for your disaster recovery plan as well.
Depending on what kind of financial services firm you are, the regulatory environment will be different. For example, if you are a big trading firm and you affect more than 8% of the U.S. market in a certain category of category like stocks or bonds or municipal bonds of a financial instrument, then you need to be able to recover those operations within a few hours of a disaster, so as to minimize the impact on the U.S. financial markets. For the retail banks, the requirements are less severe. They need to bring back their back office operations to support their branches, their ATMs, and their online banking within 24 hours of a disaster, especially their ATMs and their branch banking, so that people who may need to have money in case of a disaster can access, you know, their deposits, their checking accounts, and their savings accounts.
How much of a disaster recovery plan and how much of an organization's architectural considerations for that disaster recovery plan have to do with a mobile workforce and with accessibility and with some of the elements that are already built into a workforce's mobility becoming part of the disaster recovery plan?
There is a strong correlation between mobility and the ability to recover from disaster. One aspect of that is that you have to make sure your disaster recovery site is usually a dark site. By a dark site, we mean a site that have very few permanent staff assigned to it, so that site can be controlled remotely via remote logging, so that it allows the support staff not to be in one location to bring the operations of the firm back up. The other one is the disaster may be a pandemic situation, let's say a SARS epidemic or some such, you know, like the big flu epidemic that everybody is talking about. So in that case, one of the ways to mitigate the impact of the pandemic is that the authorities, the health authorities, will force people to stay at home and not to come to places of work so that they would be in proximity of each other. So those guys can continue to do work by dialing in remotely into the firm's infrastructure, the way, for example, the consultant, Bearing Point consultants do all the time. So the resiliency of that infrastructure is a key element of making sure that a firm survives a disaster.
Not only the resiliency as well, but also the security of such the levels of security for such an infrastructure would have to then correlate to what you said earlier, that tiered system of the vital nature of that particular operation.
That is correct. So it's resiliency and its availability, and also the capacity and the security. Capacity is very important because one of the lessons learned from Katrina was the lack of the capacity in certain locations when, you know, people from New Orleans were dislocated, businesses from New Orleans were dislocated. One of the problems was in the Baton Rouge area, where the two big telecom companies in that area ran out of infrastructure. They just ran out of additional phone lines and data lines because they never imagined that they had to support, besides Baton Rouge, they had to support New Orleans. So lots of the businesses had to actually move to the Houston and Atlanta metropolitan areas, where both of those metropolitan areas being major metropolitan areas and much bigger than Baton Rouge, had enough capacity to absorb the businesses that were dislocated by Katrina from New Orleans.
So again, what you say is no new technology should be deployed at the time of a disaster, that these should be part of the infrastructure sometime before that. So because I'm giving this consideration now, because I'm trying to build out my disaster recovery plan, what types of technologies do I need to have? What sorts of things do I need to have moving forward so that I am prepared for that disaster when it comes?
The most important technology that you need to implement before a disaster to make sure that you can survive a disaster is somehow the ability to replicate your production facilities into a remote facility. And by replicating, replicating the computing infrastructure, and most importantly, replicating the data. Currently, the technology exists to replicate the data over long distances using asynchronous replication, so that we can have the data within few minutes. For example, cross country. The production data center can be in New Jersey, for example, and let's say the disaster recovery site can be in Arizona or in Texas. So the technology exists to replicate the data. The other consideration is to make sure that the data network infrastructure is set up so that if a site goes down, let's say the site in the Northeast goes down, the network automatically reroutes everything to the disaster recovery site, let's say in the Southwest of the United States. Technology exists. The big network equipment vendors all have technologies that will allow a firm to do that. One area that is always neglected, but it is very important, is to make sure that your voice, your phone systems are also resilient, because you need to contact the people and to let them know what has happened. Lots of disaster recovery plans that we have seen neglect that aspect of things, and when we confront them that your PBX system, for example, is not resilient, they will say, well, we will rely on cell phones and other mobile voice devices. The problem on that is, number one, as we found out during September 11th, the emergency services will have priority about using the cell infrastructure, which has limited capacity. Therefore, it may not be available to an enterprise to use as a backup to their landlines. Number two, as we found during one of the blackouts in Manhattan about 2 years ago, the cell infrastructure may not be resilient enough. And actually, we had the situation where the cell phones were not working and there were long queues with the very few public phones that have remained in Manhattan, for example. There were very long queues of people trying to use that because that was the only technology that was working at that time. So they have to put all of these considerations into their plans to make sure that they have contacted their local authorities, for example, as far as cell phone, to see where they rank in the emergency plan of the locality that they are in. The localities are cognizant that certain companies are very vital to the local economy, and they will make special accommodations for them, but you have to work with your local emergency response teams to make sure that you're part of their emergency response plans.
So it sounds like depending on where the organization is right now with their disaster recovery, this could mean a little bit of tweaking of the current infrastructure of their IT department, or it could mean something. It sounds to me like that it could mean something as serious as building out fairly large facilities in some of these places like the Southwest that you'd mentioned in order to make sure they have an option should that disaster hit.
You are correct. Facilities strategy is the cornerstone of having a viable disaster recovery strategy. Historically, the financial services firms were relying on mainframe for their mission-critical applications. For disaster recovery for the mainframe, they relied on the mainframe vendor and some specialist firms that were specializing on recovering the mainframe data. Now, as the technology has moved on more into distributed systems, which are Linux, Unix, and Windows-based, that model does not work, and the firms have to rely on their own resources for disaster recovery. And for that, they have started to build a second facilities remotely to support disaster recovery for the distributed systems. Now, as they have gained experience supporting the disaster recovery system, they have also moved the mainframe recovery from the external vendors into the new facilities, because they had to justify the cost of building a new facility, which is upward of $30 to $50 million for a decent sized facility. They had to bring the disaster recovery for the mainframe in house, and also to train their people to perform the disaster recovery. So currently, the model that is preferred is to have two data centers, one of them passive data center for disaster recovery, one of them is the active data center for the day-to-day operations. The hope is that eventually, as the technologies mature, to get to two active data centers where both data centers have 50% of the production in each one, so that in the event of disaster, only half of the systems are affected and you can recover the other half quickly in the one surviving data center. But we are still a few years away from reaching the technology maturity to have active data centers.
Well, Dariush, thank you very much for taking time out today and helping us get up to speed on disaster recovery issues.
Thank you.
Dariush Bhabhuti is Managing Director at Bearing Point.